beginning a new year. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 is our text. The Christian life is likened to a race, not a 100-meter sprint, but a marathon. It requires endurance. It is not a one-day journey that makes a lifetime, but a run that lasts for a lifetime. This word race that you see at the end of verse 1 of our text means to struggle, to agonize. It's a description of life upon this earth, a sin-cursed world, plagued with the disease of sin and owned by the master deceiver, Satan himself. And the Bible tells us that this Christian life that we live is such a race. And the text tells us that it is like an athletic contest. And you are the participant. You are an athletic in that race. That's how our writer described the Christian life. And he also tells us that there is a prize waiting for you at the end of the race. And since you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are in this race. You are on this journey of faith. If you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have not begun on this journey of Christian life, of Christian faith. And I urge you to begin today. It is a blessed life, a life that is worth living for. And in order to equip us to better run, the biblical writer, led by the Holy Spirit, gives to us some pertinent advice that will help us in our Christian life. And what better time to discuss than the beginning of a new year? As it were, this is a fresh start. We are beginning from the beginning. Three thoughts for your consideration as we begin this new year. Beware of hindrances, verse 1a. Be running with patience, verse 1b, be looking to Jesus, verse 2 and 3. Beware of hindrances. Be running with patience. Be looking to Jesus. These are the three thoughts that our text tells us that would equip us to run this journey triumphantly. And our text also tells us that this journey that we run would require self-discipline. It requires determination on our part. It requires perseverance. Not an easy journey. That's the word for race. It requires many a times a struggle. But it's a good struggle. And so he tells us that there are many factors that would determine the outcome of this race. And the first thought, he tells us that you have to be aware of certain hindrances that would thwart you, that thwart your effort in this race. Verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The Bible begins with a word of encouragement to tell us that this race is runnable and that there are many who have completed the race successfully. You are compassed about or you are surrounded by many witnesses, a multitude of witnesses. They have run before you, and that they have completed the Christian race. And they are there cheering you on in your journey. Our text speaks to us of this cloud of witnesses who had completed their journey in life. They have lived this life of faith in Jesus Christ. And in the last chapter, in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, you see how they were tried, how they triumphed. Their temptations, their confessions, their blessings, their afflictions. How the Lord wants us to equip us in our journey, that we may do well. And so it's highlighted the life of Abel, of Enoch, of Noah, of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of Joseph, of Moses, of Rahab, of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, many Old Testament characters. Over the past year, in our prayer meeting, we have studied the lives of many of these men. We have studied the life of Moses, we studied the life of Daniel, we studied the life of Ezra, and now we are on the book of Nehemiah. These are all men of faith, men who subdued kingdoms, the Bible says, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. They all receive a good report of faith. And these are all worthy witnesses for our emulation. And so our text begins by telling us that there are people who have gone before us, who have run well. But he also tells us that those of us who are running, there are certain encumbrances, there are certain baggages, there are certain hindrances that prevent us from running well. And he tells us that we are to be aware of it. And so he tells us that there are those who have run well. This race is runnable. You can do it. You will make it. But he also tells us that there are certain pitfalls. And he tells us, let us lay aside every weight. He tells us that there are some things in life that, well, the word weight there means oversized. The word weight there means something that is an impediment, something that is an obstacle, an obstruction, a hindrance, something that weighs us down, that caused you to trip and fall in your Christian life. And he tells us that there are these things that cause us to be taken away from our walk with God. It diverts our attention. It saps our vital energy. It dampens our enthusiasm for the things of God. And he tells us that an athlete cannot run well when he is carrying these excess baggages. So he tells us that there are certain things in life, in your life, in my life, that can hinder this race. And he wants us to be aware of them. And so he tells us that we are to set aside. The word there tells us that we are to stop or to not allow these hindrances to come in the way. And as you think about this, I thought about our message last year from Matthew chapter 6, where we were discussing how to handle the cares of life. And I thought it was very pertinent Remember at the end of Matthew chapter 6, we spoke of the material trap and we spoke of the anxiety trap. These are the two factors that attacks the Christian and causes and threaten him to be torn away from the blessed life that God had wanted him to live. You remember? You turn there to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. These are the words of our Lord at the Sermon on the Mount. And he says in verse 19, concerning this first hindrance, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. He tells us to be aware of this material trap, that we may not store our treasure by our bank account, but store our treasure in our faith in God. These treasures, Jesus says, are corruptible. Moth and rust will corrupt them, and thieves will steal. If a financial crisis does hit Singapore in this year 2015 and the world, Christians must be better prepared with the Word of God so that they will not be encumbered by this material trap. Jesus also addressed another thing. He says, be careful also of the anxiety trap. The weariness of worrying. Worrying that there's not enough food on the table. There's not enough clothes to wear. Jesus says, take no thought. Be not distracted. Our text tells us, lay aside every hindrance, every weight, every care of this life that takes away your priority in the eternal things. He tells us to be aware and be not distracted. And then we also saw in our study of Matthew chapter 6, in the first part, two parts, we said the second part, two warnings, the material trap and the anxiety trap. But in the first part, it tells us the essence of devotional life, which we studied, how to build a strong, vibrant spiritual life. We are to be cultivating a life of good works, a life, a vibrant prayer life of determined dependence and communion with God, and the discipline of fasting, of mortifying the passions of the flesh in order to keep and maintain communion with God. And so we were looking at these things, and as I thought back, I thought it would be quite pertinent for us to review them. Right? The Lord is saying to us, be not distracted by the main objective in life, to fulfill the will of God in our lives. Be not encumbered by all these cares. And we have said this before, in this present day Singapore, children's education, health concerns, housing issues, cost of living, job promotion, can preoccupy the heart of the average Singaporean. And God tells us that we are to be careful. Do not let our heart be taken up by these cares so that we are incapable of sparing a thought about the things of greater value. Because it's going to determine how we're going to use our time in this new year ahead. This or that, we have to make choices. And what is the right choice? And so the Lord tells us, beware of hindrances. And he tells us that these hindrances are not only weights, but they are also the besetting sins. The sins that comes to us, that the word there literally means to ambush us. To be ambushed means that to be caught off guard. These are referring to the temptations of life. Right? Temptation comes to you where you may not be prepared. And the Lord tells us that we are to be aware lest we fall, lest we be trapped, and lest we have to pay the price for sin. The Bible says, but every man when he's tempted, when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, when the lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. James 1, where we were studying this during our cottage meeting. And so this first thought tells us that we are not to live in the flesh. The Lord has freed us from the bondage of sin, and that has given us this freedom. Freedom from the encumbrances of sin. And he tells us that we are to make good use of this liberty, this freedom that he has given to us. As Paul says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, he's telling us that the people in Galatia has already been entangled. And he tells us that get out. Get out. You have been set free from the bondage of sin. Do not go back there. There is a consequence to sin. And that God wants us to be fully aware of its impact, how it would ruin our lives, how we don't want to go near it, how we have to be on guard, how do we have to be so careful, because it would come to us in a moment that you are unguarded, this besetting sin, it would ambush you. You said that I'm strong. Well, think again. We are not strong. The adversary, our devil, is a roaring lion, seeking to devour every unguarded Christian. And so, in order to run well in this race, the Lord tells us that we are to be aware of this besetting sin that can entangle us. We are to keep our distance. That's our first thought. And then he gives to us a second thought. He tells us that this race is not a 100-meter dash, but a marathon. Let us run, verse 1b, with patience the race that is set before us. That's our second thought. Be running with patience. Patience is a virtue that we all lack. It's a spiritual virtue that comes with cultivation. It takes testings to quiet us down. It takes many trials to cause us to be able to sit still and not be running off all the time. To run the Christian marathon, we must run with endurance the course set before us. We are to build spiritual strength to sustain us through. Running with patience requires adopting a certain attitude. a certain mindset. The Lord wants us to realize that it is going to be a long journey. And that if you are prepared for that long journey, then you would pace yourself. The word patience is a steady determination to keep going, to not give up, to press on, even when everything else before you tells you that this is bad. Our text tells us that we are to continue. Even if it's slow, we plod on and not give up. The word there simply means to persevere or to remain under, to bear the burden and not capitulate and not break. There's another word that describes endurance towards people, but this is a different word there. It describes the trials of life that comes to the Christian. Setbacks, testings. As students, we were all once students, or there are many students in our midst. We are given tests. And what is the purpose of a test? It is to see if we have learned and to make sure that we have mastered something before we go on to the next part. Can a test be difficult? Of course, a test can be difficult. Why is it difficult? Well, the test of life, the Bible tells us, is sent by God. And this test of life tries our faith. And this can include illnesses. This can include the loss of possessions, loss of job. It could involve difficulties in the workplace, in the school. So you may ask this question: why do you like to talk about trouble? Haven't we got enough trouble already? Well, I'm giving to you the reality that these things could come. And when they come, it would put us to the test. It would prove our faith. If our faith is genuine, if our faith is real, it is a form of training, it's a form of discipline. And our writer tells us that when you go through this new year, these trials can come. And you are to be patient, not buckle under it. You are to bear under the pressure. He tells us that God is working something good in your personal life of faith. And these trials that can come your way would bring you the spiritual fruit that is called patience. And the Bible also tells us that patience brings hope. The Christians in Thessalonica were described in this way. Paul said their works were work of faith, and their labors were labors of love. And Paul also talked about their patience of hope, how they served amidst difficulties, and yet with strength. And that's what our text tells us, that the runner must develop that inner strength. And how do we develop this strength? Well, this comes with much training. Behind the scene, the early morning routines, where the athlete is up before the sun is up, to do the routines, to do the rigors. Same for our spiritual life. God wants us to be prepared. God wants us to be building strength. And so as we go through this new year, different events may take place which we don't know. But one thing we know is that every trial that comes in our lives, it helps to build our spiritual life, that we may grow to spiritual maturity. God makes no mistakes. And God allows us to struggle through the journey of life. And so this second thought tells us that we must not give up. We must not buckle under the trials. And that we may cultivate this virtue called patience. And it is a very cheerful disposition. As our next thought will tell us, our text tells us about our Lord Jesus Christ and His life, how He saw the joy that was set before Him when He ran the race. It was a most difficult journey. He suffered much, endured much. There was none, no man who had to endure as much as our Lord had to endure. And yet, there is a joy that was in His heart. There was a joy that is in His life. And James also speaks about that same joy. James says, count it all joy when you face temptation. Well, that is a cheerful mind to know that God is with you in your trial, that you are not alone. That is a thought that links us to our third thought, to look to Jesus. There will be temptations. There will be trials that will come your way in the new year. And to have victory, we are to look to Jesus. That's our third thought. Be looking to Jesus, verse 2 to 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have a Savior that has won the race, not only for the cloud of witnesses that ran before us, but He has won the race for us too. And the Lord wants us to know that when we look to Him, we will receive the strength to run this race. He is our example to look. Means to trust that we will triumph through Jesus. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The burdens will come. But in Jesus Christ, every burden becomes a blessing. You recall the chorus that we sing? Only Jesus, only Jesus, only He can satisfy. Every burden is turned to blessing when I know my Lord is nigh. And so this third thought tells us that we are to look to Jesus. And the word there means to fix our eyes upon Him. The word there means that we are to do so continually as our habit of life, as the way of victory. The problems will come. But Jesus did it. We have studied up to chapter 15 of the Gospel of Matthew. And this year we would try to complete the last lap of Jesus' life, where we would see how He would be betrayed and how He would go to the cross. And the Lord wants us to learn many pertinent lessons about life in the study of Jesus' life. The Lord tells us that this journey of life begins when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But there are many checkpoints. A new year is like a new chapter. We close one chapter and we begin afresh a new chapter. And each one of us is to write our own book, as it were, our autobiography. And we are responsible for what is in it. It is uniquely ours. Our experiences are different. But each one of us would have to give an account one day of what is written inside. How we run this journey. The Bible tells us that the books will be opened at the end of time, and the dead will be judged out of the books. Revelation 20 verse 12. And what we do in the chapters of life, how we run this race, has eternal ramifications and consequences. There are implications by every decision that we would make. And so the Lord wants us to realize that there is an end point to this race. There is also a great reward awaiting us. For the unbeliever, Jesus would sit at that right, at the great white throne. Why is it called a white throne? Because of the holiness of God. And Jesus would judge the unbelievers. For the believers, there is the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 that tells us we would be there one day, and Jesus will give to you your reward when you finish your race, when you cross the finishing line. There is a crown of righteousness awaiting us. It will not be the same for everyone. But every one of us is responsible for our own race. And the Lord wants us to run well. He tells us that there is a cloud of witnesses that we can learn from. The life of many people, many Christians, of old, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the life of the saints who have won spiritual victories. We are to learn from them. And finally, Jesus will come with His reward for the Christian who run well his or her race. And so, at the beginning of this year, we begin, as it were, a new lap in this race. And the Lord wants us to all run well, serve well. The Lord wants us to set our spiritual house aright. And then our Lord wants us to set out to win souls for Him. This is what we are doing here when the Lord allows us an approval for a church to be established. Right here, there is a work for each one of us. And the Lord tells us that in order for us to do this work well, we are to beware of the hindrances that would come. We are to be running with patience, and that we are to be looking to Jesus. For in Him is the fullness of strength. All power lies with Him. If you call upon Him, and you wait upon Him, He is able to help you. We close with a little illustration from Pilgrim's Progress. Christian was running, or was in this house, and there he saw a fireplace, and he saw a man pouring water into the fireplace, and how the fire just would not extinguish. And then he was brought to the back of the fireplace, and he saw a man pouring oil at the back of the fireplace. And then he was told that this is Jesus Christ. He is pouring the oil of grace to keep alive your spiritual life. You may not be able to see Him clearly because He's right behind the fireplace. But He is there, pouring the oil of grace that is sustaining you. And so the interpreter told Christian, be encouraged. There is someone taking care of you. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. He has endured the cross, despised the shame, and He is seated at the right hand of the Father, praying, interceding, making sure that you are well. And He wants you to co-labor with Him. Look to Him, and you receive the strength that you need to carry out His mission for you in your life. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for giving to us Thy word, how we are to begin the new year. O Lord, we want to thank Thee for giving us the warning of the hindrances to our Christian walk. O Lord, may Thou help us to take heed to them. And Lord, we also learn how we need to be patient under the various weight of trial that can cause us to buckle. Lord, may Thou grant to us faith to hang on. And Lord, we thank Thee for giving to us Thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot see the Father, cannot see the Spirit, but we can see Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And it is Him, Lord, that we will look, and it is through Him that we will have our victory, and that He would also be the one that would finally give us our reward. Oh Lord, help us to understand the meaning of life and the value, the things that truly are pertinent in the final equation in life, and help us to do them. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.